Interview Media Servisa.
Dear listeners and viewers, good afternoon. On the occasion of the 20th anniversary of the founding of Rakvijak, the guest of the interview of the week by Media Service is the director of Rakvijak, Jeronim Bazo, who will tell us more about the organization's activities, its goals and projects for this year. I'm Kristina Tomljanović and I greet Mr. Bazo in the studio. Welcome.
Well, thank you very much for having me and good morning to all to your listeners.
In November 2018, you took over the position of Rakvijak director. For the beginning, can you tell us what is the role of Rakvijak, Center for Security Cooperation, and which Southeast Europe countries are involved in it?
Well, once again, thank you very much for having me this morning to share our 20th anniversary of our organization, or of our great organization, which allow me to re-emphasize that it's the only international organizations located and hosted in the Republic of Croatia, which is something to be proud of for us and for the Croatian public at large. So back to the question, Rakvijak stands for your listeners. Rakvijak is an acronym. It stands for Regional Arms Control Verification and Implementation Assistance Center. It's a bit complicated, but the core of it is Arms Control Verification Center. That was the beginning when it started. It started. Right after the Stability Pact, in the aftermath of the conflicts in former Yugoslavia, and originated from the Stability Pact and moved on, now 20 years in existence and doing a great job and serving as a platform for dialogue and cooperation in the region and beyond. So the role of Rakvijak has evolved from the original meaning of just pure and simple armed controls. It went out to more security, talking about security or building bridges and cooperation in the region. When it comes to the countries, to the member states of our organization, we do have Romania, Croatia, Serbia, Montenegro, Bosnia and Herzegovina, North Macedonia, Albania, Greece, and Turkey. So these are 9 members. We have one participant with the status of participant, which is Kosovo. And then we do have 14 associate members and 5 observers with the status of observers. So this is our Rakvijak. That's what we do. And this is the role and the mission. Day to day, serving as platform for dialogue and cooperation. Talking among each other is important in the region.
You performed the duty of Chief of the General Staff of the Albania Armed Forces. What were the most important lessons you learned at your previous job and how do you implement them at this job?
Well, it's very interesting question. So how? What I did learn and what I... You know, military or armed forces is a very unique and specific organization. And with its rules and its unique features, and where you inside and grow up within this organization, you learn every day. Is also, let me re-emphasize that armed forces and the military is also an educational organization, is a learning one. You learn every day as you grow up, as you move through the ranks. But most of all, what you learn in the service for the country, you learn responsibility, what it means to be responsible, to not let your comrades, your friends, and your country down. Take responsibility on your shoulders and move on without letting anyone down. That's important. That's what you learn as you move through the ranks. The higher you go through the ranks, the more you understand the responsibility, what it means. And then when you reach the top, as it was my example, my case, you reach the top and then you understand something more. You understand that this organization, this structure is not an island in itself, but it's part of a bigger picture, bigger tableau. Armed forces are part of the society at large. They are a part of this society and they play by the society's rule. So that's what you learn. And then you learn to better represent your peers, your subordinates, and army at large. That's what you understand. And then you understand how to play with other actors in this big picture. And then you understand what it means to obey, so to speak, to the democratically elected officials, which is that put the policy in place. And you learn how to translate policy in legitimate orders and how to motivate your subordinates and armed forces at large to follow these policies. So that's what you learn when you reach the top. And also, you better understand the civil-military relations, which is the core of a democratic society. How to smoothly and elegantly play at the top level of the armed forces is more and more a challenge nowadays, because we are living in open society, we do have the social media around, and nothing goes unnoticed. And that's a challenge in itself. So acquiring all these skills, so to speak, you find it more easy to move through diplomatic circles and to understand better your job when it comes to international organizations. When you are the top guy in a military from our region or from Europe or throughout NATO, you understand how to build relationship and to keep contacts with your peers from international arena. So all these skills come to play when it comes to be the director of this organization. So it will take a longer time to share these experiences and how they come to play when you exercise the role of a director, but it will remain for another time.
In 2010, Reykjavik transformed and expanded its program from mainly arms control issues to wider scope of contemporary and emerging security threats, such as cybersecurity, immigration, anti-corruption, and etc. Why this was important?
Well, as we said, everything else for an organism, so to speak, or an organization, or even for a human being, in order to survive, you have to adapt to the environment. It's also the old adage that says, adapt or die. And hence, during these 20 years, the strategic environment in the region and beyond has changed dramatically. And it was paramount for this organization of ours to change as well and to move along with these new challenges. Hence, as I mentioned a little bit and touched upon a little bit earlier on, it's important to understand the new environment. As I said earlier on, we're living in a different time and more challenging time that social media, new technologies are putting us into new challenges, not just helping us to move forward, our societies at large, but also challenging us with the risks that come along with these new technologies. And hence, cybersecurity has become a buzzword, so to speak, nowadays. It's important to protect your data, to protect the health and the life of the societies at large. And that's why knowledges and education as far as cybersphere and cybersecurity is concerned is within our scope for sharing these experiences, finding out what are the best methods to encounter this sort of risks that are coming across our way.
The crisis caused by corona pandemic has clearly shown that different countries have responded differently to the crisis. What do you think about the reactions and moves of the European Union at the current situation?
Well, we came across this situation, this pandemic, out of blue, as they say in English, without any forewarned, without any signal. We just came across this. It's not that the societies were not prepared to manage crisis of all spectrum. But again, the hit of this virus was really nasty, as I said, and it put us in a lot of restraint, the whole societies. And in a way or another, impacted our way of doing business, our way of normal life as we knew it. Now, your question is, what are we doing and how do I think that the region and Europe at large are dealing with this crisis? Well, the most important thing is that we live in an era that we share information, which is a good thing, but on the other side is a challenge again, because spreads around the information sooner than we would like to sometime. But on one side, spreading the information and communicating with each other has put Europe and the region in a better place as far as the handling the crisis is concerned. And to my humble opinion, Croatia, as I'm living into, and as far as I follow from Europe and other places, are doing a great job trying to keep the public alert and trying to put in place measurements that will minimize the risks of exposing to this pandemic. Of course, there are so many informations coming across us. There are so many theories and putting us into more difficult situations. There are so many news, fake news, if you will, and playing a role as far as the safety of mind and the state of mind is concerned. But I think that slowly we are moving in the right direction. I think that all the institutions, at least here in Croatia, are doing a great job keeping the public informed and also putting in place good measures for dealing with this pandemic. What I would say is that, again, the two main pillars, in my opinion, and I would recommend and advise to other friends, is that we should be careful, serious, but not panicked. Both of these pillars to be held close, dear to ourselves.
One of the region's growing problems, except coronavirus, is the large influx of refugees, as well as the threat of terrorism. How can Reykjavik help solve this problem?
Again, the risks and the new phenomena that you just mentioned are part of this evolving strategic environment, this changing, ever-changing strategic environment. And hence, our center is responsible to touch upon or to address these new challenges. We're doing we're putting a lot of efforts together to manage and to handle and to address these issues as well. So last year or the last couple of years, we had this migration crisis. And all of a sudden, this migration crisis and movement was doubled with the pandemic situation, which renders things more difficult. All we have to do is to address the challenge, not avoid them, just coming across them face to face and help each other to understand first what it means. And then to educate each other and share the best experiences and methods, how to address, how to handle and how to manage these situations. Always keeping the balance between the human rights, the core of human rights, and the safety and the security of our nations and the region.
Reykjavik collaborates with other international organizations such as the UN, NATO and the EU. Could you describe some of the projects that you are developing with them?
Oh, we do have a great cooperation with these well-known international organizations. We do cooperate with the OSCE for a lot of our topics, such as you mentioned, foreign terrorist fighters, other matters of arms control. Also, we do cooperate with NATO via the NATO school in Oberammergau, in Upper Bavaria in Germany, as far as symposium of arms control is concerned and other issues related to arms control, to how to build confidence and trust within the region and beyond. also, it is another organization. It's the EU as well is a close partner of us via the European Defense and Security College. They do have in place. EU has in place a sort of college that addresses the European security and defense issues, and we are now associate members with this organization, and we are very proud of that because we reached this status last year, and now we'll be able to conduct a course according to their rules and under their auspices in Croatia next year, hopefully, if the situation with pandemic will allow us and will permit.
Which activities do you plan on conducting this year, and what projects are ahead of you?
Well, this year, to tell you the truth, by the end of March, we have completed and conducted some activities in person, in the traditional way. And then we moved slowly but securely on the online and virtual activities. So now we could say proudly that we are pretty successful in conducting online seminar, conferences, workshops, other important events. And so far we have done pretty well. And the topics has been always our normal topics, you know, arms control and security cooperation in the region with focus on Euro-Atlantic integration, crisis management, and all these things. As we are speaking, so next week we'll conduct an activity concerning the human resource management during a crisis and having in mind the actual crisis. Also, as far as back to your previous question, because I skipped a little bit our cooperation with some of our partners, is also a great partner of us is United States European Command in Europe, together with a very important agency in United States, which is called Defense Threat Reduction Agency, known as DITRA by acronym. And with them, we are conducting together with them a very important project and initiative concerning countering weapons of mass destruction, or CWMD. This is the acronym. And it's for 5 years now that we are conducting different phases of this project, which is very important that shares the experiences and methods how to address the weapons of mass destruction problem, which is again a crisis in itself. That's what we're doing. And these are some of the projects that we are still continuing to do. And the same is to be said for next year. We have already put in place our program. And the day before yesterday, we approved the program through our steering committee, or is called differently, multinational advisory group. So we approved the program for next year based on the supposition and the assumption that the situation will mild down, will be calmed, and we'll turn back to the normalcy as we knew it. But nevertheless, as I said, we now do have acquired a lot of experience to conduct these activities online.
That was the last question. Thank you for being our guest.
Well, thank you very much for having me.
Interview Media Servisa.